Hello and welcome to the Three Teachers Podcast, the podcast for learners and students of the English language, where three heads are much better than one. The three teachers, there's me, Ajahn Ken, there's English teacher Andy, and today's very special guest teacher is English teacher Nora. Join us on our socials and join in the conversation on your favourite podcast platform. Coming up in today's episode, preparing yourself for a job interview in English. How to get the best preparation. How will I know what my interviewer is going to ask you? I worry that I'm going to forget what I'm going to say. How are you going to help me? I get really nervous. How to be confident in an interview. It's all coming up in episode number 9 of the Three Teachers Podcast. Hey, so we're live, thankfully. So we're going live on Facebook and on YouTube. I'm trying to get going live on Instagram as well, but we're not coming through. So this is the Three Teachers Podcast. My name's Ken. I'm a native British English teacher with the Scottish accent, and I'm the expert in helping prepare for interviews in English, as mostly as cabin crew and flight attendants. Andy, hello.
Hi, Ken. Good afternoon. Hi, everybody out there. I am Andy, a certified English teacher and coach for ESL with 14 years experience. And I help my students in two ways: to prepare for the Cambridge exams B2 and C1, and to unlock their speaking fluency in business, in a business environment.
Excellent. And today we've got Nora, who I thought was from New Zealand. She's got a fantastic accent, but she's not. Hello, Nora.
Hi, I'm Nora. I am not from New Zealand. I am Austrian.
Brilliant.
But everybody always tells me I have a weird mix of accents. So today it's New Zealand, apparently. And I help intermediate and advanced English learners become more competent and more confident using English in a workplace setting. And the competence is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I really focus on not on learning more vocabulary, but really on making sure we have the communication skills that we need in an English language setting.
All right. So what communication skills, what are you talking about specifically? What couple of things would you be helping people do?
Well, specifically, I do help a lot of people prepare for job interviews.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing is why I'm here today. I also work a lot on presentation skills and then just general meeting skills, negotiations, and really any form of communication setting that you typically have in a workplace.
Yeah. How's the English language skills over in Austria? I imagine that people are quite, you know, have a few languages they speak: Austrian, German, French, I would imagine as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, typically English is the first foreign language that people learn here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since you made a distinction between Austrian German and German German, we could say that maybe German German is the first foreign language and then English is the second.
Uh-huh.
In general, I'm going to say I work a lot with university students. Their English level is always brilliant. And then in slightly older generations, the English education just wasn't there at school. So the level is a bit different, not quite as advanced as at universities, but it's still
really good. So what's the difference between, excuse my ignorance here, what's the difference between Austrian English, Austrian German. German and German German? Is this a bit like British English and American English, or?
It is like that. We have mainly a few different words that we use when we mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. There are slight differences in grammar occasionally, but really it's the same language. It's just that Austria is small, you know, and it's much smaller than Germany. So we always have a bit of an inferiority complex. So we always need to make very clear our German is not the same as Germany's German. There is a difference, but really the difference is very small. Usually
one of my favorite actors is from Austria. What was his name? The guy he done a few He's very famous at the moment. He's done a few Quentin Tarantino films. The Austrian guy. What's his name? Christoph?
Weitz. I think he's Austrian.
Weitz. Yeah, he is Austrian. He is, actually, yeah. I think I read an interview and somebody says, don't mix me up with German. I'm Austrian.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very possessive, yeah.
Well, we have a bit of history with Germany and all of that, so it is important to make that distinction.
Absolutely. It's like Scotland and England, I guess, you know.
Yeah, hey guys. So let's remind for those that are new here today, what
yes.
that we do. Usually for those that are new over here, we usually pick a topic based on students' questions, and we try to make it more comprehensive and a little bit more logical.
Yes.
Not just random questions dropped, you know, there. And today's focus would be on interviews in English dynamics, the do's and don'ts. And I think that today's topic is actually quite interesting, and it goes through all working fields and affects everybody that is looking. For those that are thinking to change their current jobs or their current realities. So if this is you, please stay tuned with us, because that's what we're going to focus on today.
And also as well, not just jobs, Andy, you specialize in exams. So there'll be speaking tests, and going to a speaking test for an exam is very similar to going for a speaking test for a job.
You know, right? A lot of my
especially
students,
if you're non-native.
Yeah. And you know what is interesting? The thing is that a lot of my students, when they contact me, they're kind of like surprised. Why do I navigate in these two words for me? Worlds for me, it's really impossible not to work with them together, because eventually. There will be, you will have companies that will require perhaps certification, and they go mano mano, as we say in the
mano US. Mano. What does mano mano mean?
It's slang, and it means that it goes in a way together, because companies, especially those companies that care for this kind of things, they might ask for certifications. But I try to balance those two strengths, yes, that we have to work on the best way possible, and in a very creative way. Yes, don't think that it's going to be like boring all the way. I promise it won't.
So we get a lot of questions in, and as Andy says, on various topics, and it's all about interview questions.
Yes.
So what we'll do is we'll quickly see if we can get a better picture. There we go. We'll quickly go through. We'll go through here, and we'll get everyone's kind of opinions, because obviously three heads are better than one, right? Good. Yeah. So all about interview questions, the interviews, the do and the do's and the don'ts. Mm-hmm. The number one question I got recently was, and this is the one everyone asks, how do we prepare the best for an interview, or how do we prepare ourselves for to give an effective interview presentation, especially when English isn't your main language? Nora, the special guest today who specializes in this. What would you say if someone wants to prepare for an interview? What advice would you give to them?
Well, the first thing I have to say is, if you're preparing for the interview, congratulations, because many people forget that is a really important part of the job interview, the preparation phase.
Yes.
What I always recommend, particularly if it's in a language that you're not 100% confident with, is to first of all look at the job ad very, very carefully.
Uh-huh.
Quite simply, we also, I think later on, have a question, how do we know what questions are going to be asked? And by looking at the job ad, you can already guess a lot of the questions that you might be asked. Interviewers will be interested in whether you have the qualifications that they demand, whether you have the skills that they describe that are needed. So by looking at that and by really going through all of the requirements, you're already on a really good way to preparing. So look at the requirements and then really always ask yourself, how do I fulfill those? Where do I have those? Mm-hmm. And extremely important, in my opinion, always prepare examples for why you have the skills that they want.
Because, what do you mean by that, by preparing examples, Nora?
I'm going to give a classic. On their CV, in their application materials, everybody in the world is a team player. If you just go into the interview and you say, well, I'm a team player, and that's it, you're not setting yourself apart from everybody else. So have an example. Give a clear situation in your past work experience, or maybe just in your studies, if you don't have that much work experience, where you've shown that you were a capable team player, and prepare how to talk about that specific example to illustrate that you have that skill.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no I in team, but there is a me, right?
You know? Absolutely.
Andy, what would you say? How would you get your English learners and your students to prepare for, what would be the main do for your students to prepare for an interview?
Well, usually what I advise is to research about the company that you want to work in. Mm-hmm. Basically, because you have no idea who the person, you know, who's the one who's going to interview you. But if you control what is the company's view, where is it that they're directing their ship? Mm-hmm. Let's imagine it, you know, like in that way, it's going to be a lot easier for you to find a way to fit in. Not only find a way to fit in, but to give them what they're looking for. You have to work a lot on your salesman skills here, which personally, this is something that I find really hard because I'm not a good salesperson. I really suck at it. I'm sorry if I'm being very blunt. I really suck at it. I'm really good, but you know, giving advice about it, you know, but in practice, and I'm totally sincere about it, is so hard. So absolutely. When my students tell me, Andy, I'm awful at this, I tell them, yeah, so do I. So am I. I'm really awful at it. Let's move together and let's learn together with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you might learn all the techniques out there. You can read all the techniques out there, but once that you are in there with the person that is going to perform the interview, you know, lights are on and the show's on and you've got to flow with it and you cannot stop, right? Mm. So that's probably why people get so anxious about this. So probably I would also work a lot on mental sets.
What's mental sets?
Well, a mental set is perhaps something really complicated that we have to work on through our whole lives. Mm. Our whole life, especially because when we step into adulthood, you know, adulting is so hard. It is so hard. I'm still in my teenage years mentally.
Me too.
Absolutely.
There are like so many things that, and again, for me, becoming a teacher or taking the road of becoming a teacher, because professionally I have a first career, which is in journalism, and then shifted into business, specifically business marketing. But into all that, through all those changes, I've always taught English as a second language learner. So it was something that it was already there speaking to me like, hey, I'm here. I'm your path, right? So I'm giving you this example because when we are preparing for interviews, we learn so much by making mistakes. I don't know, what do you think, Nora, when it comes to preparing for interviews? But I always advise also my students, like, you know what? If you get called for interviews that you really don't intend of, getting the job, still go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know, like, give it a go, especially because it will take a lot from the pressure of the first time interview, especially if you're a first timer, right?
Absolutely.
So it works a lot in what we're talking about, mindsets, right? Like you being at ease with what is it that you're doing in that moment. For you, it helps you to be a lot more present, because that is what happens. We have this internal monologue going on, right?
I think for a lot of, going back to what you said there about selling yourself, I think for a lot of cultures, not so much the European cultures, but maybe the Asian cultures, is it's very difficult to blow your own trumpet and sell yourself. It's actually seen as being kind of arrogant if you're going to tell everyone how good you are. So it's kind of going back to what Nora says about when the way to sell yourself is really to prepare examples of your experience rather than saying, okay, I'm the best at this, but here's an example where we accomplished something as part of a team. This is what we did as part of a team, you know? So it can be very, very difficult to actually kind of sell yourself in some. I know in Europe is easy. We're always kind of selling ourselves, right, Nora?
We are, but I still, even with many European students, they tell me, well, this doesn't come naturally to me at all.
Really?
So, yeah, I still, yeah, from a lot of people that they feel strange having to really exactly sell themselves and highlight their strengths. Also, because from my personal experience, I think for a lot of us, it's very easy to talk, not in an interview setting, but just in an everyday setting, to talk about what we're not good at.
Or your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just weaknesses, or in general, whatever we're talking about when we're having conversations with friends even, it's much easier to talk about the things, the times where we didn't do what we wanted to do, where something didn't work out. It's much harder for us, even in a very personal setting, to really highlight what we're good at and that say we did something really well, because we don't show off. And then suddenly in an interview setting, we have to sit there and we have to do just that, something that we can't even do with our friends.
Yeah. So
even for many Europeans, it's difficult. But then, of course, there's probably a whole different level of difficulty there if you're from a culture where that's even less encouraged.
Yeah.
I'd also quickly like to add something for when we talk about job interviews in general. We also need to remember that job interviews always take place in the context of a specific culture. So the, giving, the tips that we're giving probably work very well in European countries. At least that's what I also know about. If you're applying for a job, for example, in, I'm guessing in Japan, which is generally a much more, well, a much more collective culture, a much less individualistic culture, there might be different rules to interviews. And I do want to make clear, I actually don't know what the rules to Japanese job interview would be. Speaking very clearly about English background, European, American, Canadian interviews, these types of settings.
I think when I was teaching university graduates how to become, well, to prepare for cabin crew and flight attendants job, I always kind of told them to kind of move out your comfort zone of being an Asian, and actually you're going in front of like a multinational company. You have to kind of throw away your Asian stereotypes and actually think, right, this is what the European or the multinational companies are wanting. They want to see, are you, even if your English isn't that great, are you confident enough just to speak anyway, which is the most important thing, I feel. And then, as you said earlier on, can you back up what you are saying, or is it just words? For example, I'm a good team player. It's just words.
Yeah.
Can you give a real example of you being an accomplished team player, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is never about what you say. It's about how can you prove it?
You prove it? Exactly.
Yes, exactly. This is totally Pride and Prejudice. I mean, Mr. Darcy, I don't want you to tell me anything. I want you to prove your love. That's it. Absolutely.
We have an expression in English called all mouth and no trousers, which means you talk a good game, but you can't back it up, you know?
Okay, first time. I've never heard about that one.
Me neither, but I think I'm going to start using that one. I really like that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's quite true, you know? So definitely, how to prepare, in a nutshell, in one sentence, Nora, how to prepare the best for an interview.
Ha. Read the job ad carefully.
Read the job, Andy.
No, you go first. I got to think about that.
I didn't have time to think about it. I my sentence now.
No, no worries. Yeah, basically, to prepare best for a job interview is to not to worry what you're going to say. Anything you say, you have to give a backup to it, is what we've said earlier.
I got it now.
Tell me.
Do the research. Always.
Yeah. Excellent. So hopefully that's helped you how to prepare best for an interview. We have another hugely popular question. I get really nervous how to be confident in an interview. You know, when I saw this question, I had a laugh because I lived in Thailand for 10 years. And every year I had to do an interview with the Ministry of Education in the Thai language. And I thought, yeah, no problem, you know. And I sat down and immediately my mind went blank. You know, and I just thought, right, I totally understand where my students are coming from, why they feel nervous, you know. Immediately sat down and the woman said, hello, how are you in Thai? And what's your favorite Thai food in Thai? Easy question. And it was totally, I was so nervous. Yeah. So I didn't have any confidence at all, you know. That's where I got nervous as well. What would you say, Andy, about being confident in an interview?
Don't want it that much.
Yeah.
And
don't what?
Don't want the job that much, or don't be so eager to get it. And let me explain why. And this actually
Please tell happened. Me. Uh-huh.
I learned this by experience because in my early 20s, when I was, you know, like applying for jobs, especially in journalism, mm-hmm. I learned this. And this was one of the best advice that I gotten from a colleague, a journalist colleague. And he was the one who actually told me, sweetheart, don't be so eager to show the, you know, like others that you want this. Play it cool. And I understood that, play it cool, but without arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain this even a little bit further. Because a lot of people, when they are actually nervous, they come out as arrogant, and also they come out as sometimes prepotent. And this is definitely...
Sometimes what? I missed that word.
Prepotent.
Prepotent. What does prepotent mean?
It's kind of like a synonym of being arrogant, perhaps a little bit more formal. Yes,
you know,
like a person who perhaps want to impose what they want to their
ideas.
Yes, their ideas.
Yeah. So, like overly assertive type.
Yeah,
thing.
I mean, let's not forget that interviews are designed conversations that have a very specific purpose.
Uh huh.
And in this way, if you think about them, I think that this is a good way for you to relax. And going back to what I was saying about one of the things that you should work on is not to, and I know that this is a little bit a contradiction, but work on, again, your mindset, because if you appear, you know, arrogant or prepotent, there is something that you can never switch off, which is a bad impression. A first bad impression is going to kill it. It doesn't matter if you graduated from an Ivy League school, if you were the top of your class, it doesn't really matter. You're never going to, you know, take the plunge off from a bad impression. And that's something can really, really hurt. And then I'll continue, you know, my process, but I'm going to let you know the floor for you about how to be a little bit more confident in an interview. I don't know if you guys have any anecdotes about that. I have so many. I have so many screw-ups.
Nora?
Yeah, I can't think of an anecdote off of the top of my head, but I do want to add something to what you said, Andy, because in part, I completely agree with you, and then in part, I don't.
Oh, conflict.
No. I think we mean the same thing, but I want to say something about that because I 100% agree with the first thing. I took notes for this, right? I took notes. What would I say if you asked me this question? And the first thing I did was, you don't need this job. So absolutely don't want it too much. Remind yourself that there is absolutely a place. There are many places in the world for your unique combination of skills and talents and experience. And if they don't want you, then that's not the perfect job for you. Even if you think it's the perfect job, it isn't. Because the perfect job is the job where you are wanted and where you need it and where they see you the way you are. So, Andy, I completely agree with that part. For me personally, and that's just my personal approach, I don't 100% agree with the play it cool. Because I personally, and I think that depends on your personal style of communication and your character and everything, I'm a very passionate person and I get crazy excited about the things I want to do. And at this point in my life, I'm lucky enough to actually only do the work that I'm crazy excited about. So if I ever still have interviews, then I will absolutely be over the top excited for this opportunity because I am, and that's how you'll always see me. And so I'm not going to be different in the job interview. I'm not going to be calmer and cooler in the job interview because I'll never be like that again. So that's where I don't agree with the play it cool. I do agree with the don't be desperate. You don't need that job. And what I also always recommend is approach it like dating and not like a marriage proposal.
What do you mean by that, Nora? Interesting analogy.
I think many people still have exactly what Andy mentioned, this idea in their heads that I need this job and I must have this job. And if I don't get it, I'm somehow a failure. And I think many people also still have that about relationships on a different level because socially speaking, we're seen as whole if we're in a relationship and all that. But people then approach job interviews with this idea that this must be it and this must be the job and I must get it and we must be together forever. Don't see it like that. See it like the first date. You're trying to not just show yourself in a good light, but also trying to figure out, hey, do I want to spend
for you
time with them in the future? Is that a workplace that I am comfortable with? Are there any red flags? Because you're also not going to stay at a dinner date if the person that you're there with treats you badly or just doesn't share interests with you. Then you're also not going to pursue a second date. Same with the job. Do you actually want to do that process with that company for a longer time?
I tell this story before. I went to acting school many years ago. And one of the things I remember, and I was reading about this famous singer called Beyoncé, and I think I've told Andy this story. And when she goes on stage, she adopts a different persona. So she's Beyoncé, the housewife, you know, when she's at home, and when she goes on stage, she has this persona called Sasha Fierce, and Sasha Fierce can do anything on stage, and then when she's finished the concert, she goes off and Sasha Fierce is left on stage and she becomes Beyoncé. And that really hit me because in the few things I've done, for example, DJing or doing seminar presentations, I used to get really, 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 really nervous. But then I decided, right, let's put a different head on here. And this is why my name is like, Usually I'm called Ajarn Ken. Ajarn means teacher in Thai, and Ken. And Ajarn Ken is a different persona to Ken. Mm-hmm. Ajarn Ken can do anything that he wants and say anything he wants. And if he's wrong, so what? You know, and he doesn't really, he's not arrogant, but he's a different persona to me, you know. And I try and instill that into my students to say, when you go for an interview, 100% you're going to be nervous, but that's the real you. But this interview you is not going to be nervous. You can handle anything that you, that the interviewer throws at you. And to kind of prove a point, we'd be sitting in class and the students would be all doing their work and ever. And all of a sudden I would clap my hands, make a big noise and shock people and say, right, Andy, tell me a time you worked in a team and achieved success. And then they would have to stop and immediately scramble their brains. Right, I have to talk about this. And it kind of got them in a relaxed way where, hey, okay, I'm going to make mistakes here, but, you know, I can still, I'm prepared enough to do it, you know. So
it's for really me, funny. Yeah, Andy. It's really funny. Sorry, finish your idea, Ken.
Carry on.
Yeah, are you sure? Yeah. It's really funny because we all have very different coping mechanisms. And one of my coping mechanisms, and I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, is telling jokes or cracking jokes or you know, lightening the mood in a way or another. But later on, you know, when you go to therapy and you learn a lot of things about yourself, I highly recommend it. I mean, if you go to a doctor, you know, just because if you go to your dermatologist or if you go to a mani-pedi, I mean, why on earth are you not going to a therapist? I think that everybody should. Now, parenthesis closed. The thing is that when it comes, you know, to when you get to know who you are as an individual and the coping mechanism that you choose, you got to be also very comfortable with it, because a lot of people might, you know, crack a joke and can be totally inadequate and ruins again, you know, the interview and the first image. So I would work a lot on what you do before. But not just about like the research, and also something really important that I also tell my students, please get ready like with the Google Maps and get there on time. Please. I mean, those are really important things. But apart from that, and I know that this is a little bit funny, but I love to, if it's possible, when I arrive in time to an interview, I get into the bathroom and I get, you know, my AirPods and I start dancing. So I can release stress. I dance.
Yeah.
And I still do that before every session. I mean, every time that I come before the podcast, I dance or I sing or I, you know, put on a tune that elevates my energy.
Yeah.
It's going to elevate my serotonin and my mood is going to lighten up, you know, that person, Ken, that you're talking, you know, like it might tune in with this person, or actually it might make me a lot more focused, and then boom, lights are on and here we go. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that this is a good way. Yes. To
go into shake the inner Beyonce out of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you dance. Yeah.
I think, Andy, also what you're saying makes a lot of sense, is also something that I partly do, but maybe that's also important for people to understand. Why are we nervous? Nervousness is our body giving us more energy because we're in a dangerous or in a difficult situation. So if we're nervous, the best way to deal with it is to get rid of that energy, to somehow manage the energy. That's why I use a lot of gestures, by the way. Mm-hmm. I gesture a lot because I have a lot of nervous energy always.
Mm-hmm.
I let it out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We all get nervous. I get nervous when I was walking into a classroom for the first 30 seconds.
Oh, God, yeah.
The students listening to this will think, no way, teachers don't get it. Honestly, for the first 30 seconds walking into a classroom, right, okay, it's total preparation, you know?
Yes.
There's a little secret for English learners. When you see your teacher, ask your teacher if they're nervous, and they will be 100%, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the famous butterflies, we all got them. I mean, we all got them. And I want you guys, when you're listening to this, I want you to reshape your thinking. Nervous, it's for me, I think that words, they are so important. And I, instead of thinking that you're nervous, why don't you think that you are excited?
Actually, did you know, in the Thai language, nervous and excited are both the same words.
This is really interesting. I didn't know that. But actually, for me, that's how I, you know, want you to see it. Because we, as Nora said, and this is so important, we've got to understand where that feeling is coming from. So we can understand if you're going to be triggered by it, how you can control it. That the same happens with every feeling that we've gotten. Of course, we're not going to, even though we're rational creatures, we're not going to analyze every step that we take, no matter how stoic you are. But the thing is that you are the kind of person that sometimes there are things that you can rationalize and others you cannot. This is one of those things that you can, that you can actually work on. And it's a skill that you develop as most, you can train, you can absolutely train this. You know, it's more about excitement more than actually feeling nervous. Because when you're nervous, perhaps it's because you're not sure about who you are, what is it that you're going to deliver, and what is it that you've got to offer.
Andy, what does stoic mean? I'm going to put it up here. You said this word here, stoic. I love it. Tell our English learners, what does stoic mean?
Oh, well, I'm a perfect example. I'm definitely a stoic here. Stoicism is a philosophy philosophical current. And stoics, basically, to put it in a nutshell, are those people that are very rational. We are, in a way, we're not masochists, though. But yeah, because to some point, some people might think that they are. But I do like to believe that Stoics are the kind of people that they are very realistic, and they don't like to romanticize things that shouldn't be romanticized.
All right.
In a way. That's how I see it, and to put it very, very simply.
So it's like accepting the good and the bad as part of life, kind of thing, yeah?
Our Latin teacher, I still have this. I went to a very old-fashioned school. I had 7 years of Latin. Fortunately, our Latin teacher mainly talked about philosophy with us. And the way that she described Stoicism was essentially imagine your... I think you're tied to a cart that's rolling downhill. And most people's instinct will be to try and somehow not be pulled down by that cart. And not be pulled down by gravity. And a Stoic just accepts that there's no fighting that. So they just try to run alongside with the cart so they don't get hurt when they land at the bottom of the hill. I don't know if that made it simpler or more complicated now, but I still have that image in my head.
So it's kind of like accepting what you cannot change type of thing.
Yeah.
It's not about not changing. It's about accepting things in order for you to find different and more creative ways to finding a solution in life.
My God, I want to do a philosophy podcast. I love it.
I love it.
Books, then, if we've got to recommend, okay, let's do that.
I would love to do it. Right, let's move on. I know we've got a lot of questions. Here's something. I think it was you, Nora, that mentioned before. How to know what they will ask at my interview? How do we know what's going to be asked at an interview? How do we know? Nora, you touched on this earlier, yeah?
Absolutely. I'm also going to say I'll need to leave in a few minutes, so finish by answering this.
I mean, Andy will continue, yep.
Yeah, I'm sad about that now, but yeah.
It's okay.
I'll get to the point. So I think the first thing to remember, are we going back to Stoicism now probably, is you can't actually know everything they'll ask you. You have to accept that there's a good chance that there'll be something unexpected. You can prepare a lot of the questions, however. First thing to do, as I said before, you look at the job ad and you look at, as Andy also said, the company's homepage, etc. You figure out what's important to them, because there's a good chance that they're going to ask you in some way, shape or form how you fit in with the things that they value, things that are company values. Do you fit in with the company culture? And then they'll probably ask you about whatever is listed in the job ad, how you fulfill that. And then, of course, there's also just typical job interview questions. Some of them I believe you have coming up later anyways.
Yeah.
Strengths, weaknesses, tell me about yourself. Do you have any more questions? All of these sort of things. Why should we hire you? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? These are just classics. You just prepare for them. You can Google 10 most common job interview questions.
Absolutely.
And just also look at that. And another thing then that I believe is always very important. I said you can't prepare for every question. You can't. Mm-hmm. But that's also the whole point usually of the question that you haven't prepared for. Very often when they ask you a completely unexpected question, the idea is also to see how do you react to something unexpected happening. What you can do is also either train yourself how you would answer random questions, just so you practice dealing with that, not because you ask that, but so you practice dealing with it. And when you're asked an unexpected question, at least make sure you give an answer. And if you don't have an answer immediately, you walk the interviewer through your thought process. It's totally legitimate to say, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Let me think about that. And then you explain your thoughts, because very often that's what they want to see, your thought process. And that's why they ask that.
Excellent. Good. Andy, are you going to go, Nora?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go now with that.
Oh, Nora, thank you very much for coming along. Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can have a full hour at some point in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Nora, see you later.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. How do I leave here?
Here. I think I'm going to...
There we go. Andy, what about you? How to know what the interviewer will ask in your interview? What do you say?
Well, Nora was, answered it so beautifully. I might want to pinpoint something quite interesting about not knowing what to answer, because that's actually what brings all the nervousness and what makes you anxious about what to do while you're at an interview.
Yeah.
So... you are the person who's a professional, you are the experienced one, and you've been called for a reason. Because probably with you, there were like hundreds, perhaps thousands of candidates that, and you were the ones who got selected, far to that point. So if there is something that you perhaps just don't know, there are many ways to answer that one. For example, be honest and ask your interviewer to give you time to analyze it in the best way. If they give you a case scenario, because now it's very normal, depending on the job that you are, that you're being interviewed, they might give you a case scenario. Even if you're not very vast, if you don't have a vast knowledge about it, you might say, okay, with the limited knowledge that I have right now, I would do and offer a solution.
Yeah.
This is, I think, a really great opportunity for interviews to show, team skills.
Correct.
Yes, because in that way you would, for example, I would ask a colleague, I would do it in this way.
Yeah.
Offer always a solution, but never be quiet. That's something that I would
say. I always take it in steps, and I'll say, right, when you go for preparation, you're not going to know what they're going to ask you, but take it in two steps. The first step, there's four different types of interview questions. There's questions about your yourself, your facts about yourself, mm-hmm. about your opinions, about your experiences, and hypothetical questions. What would you do if?
Yeah.
So know that there's four different types of questions. And then from that, they're going to ask you the questions from that. Now, if you're going to prepare, you know, a story about yourself, mm-hmm. like your experience, I always try and get my students to prepare maybe five stories about themselves. Only five. A story, as you mentioned, a story about teamwork, mm-hmm. a story about an achievement, a story about problem solving, a story about working under pressure, and a story about helping someone. So these five stories can answer any interview question that will come up. You know?
That's really interesting. And I do like that method, because what is important is to enter in the room the least anxious possible.
Correct.
You know? So I think that's really a really great idea to work on that.
Coming on to that, I mean, if you're going to talk about experience, then there's a kind of there's a kind of formula for having a really good interview answer, which
yes.
we can cover in another thing. But that's it. You know, think about five experiences of those topics, and I guarantee you will fly through an interview, no problem at all, you know?
Yes.
No problem at all. Cool. So hopefully that's answered your question. Shall we do another one or two, Andy?
Of course, yeah. Of course. We've still got time.
Oh, great. Here's one. I worry that I will forget what I want to say. How can you help me? So someone's going for an interview and they're sitting in an interview and their mind goes blank. They have blank brain syndrome. Yeah. Happens to everybody. I told you a story earlier on. I went for an interview with the Ministry of Education in the Thai language, ready to prepare, good eye contact and everything. Asks the first question,
and
nothing came out. Oh my God. I was started sweating, going red and everything, panic.
Oh my God. It's so terrible when you've got a brain fart, you know, because the thing is that, yes, I know that makes you laugh, but it's true. That's how I know them. I mean, brain farts happen more often than what we think. And, you know, the problem here is that sometimes we freeze and it's kind of like, oh, what else? What can I do? It's kind of like when I tell my students when they're getting ready for an exam, it's kind of like, why are you focusing on the empty gap where you have to place your answer instead of the whole thing? So
yeah.
It's very simple. It is as simple as, excuse me, I didn't quite catch that. Do you mind repeating the question? And that's it. It buys you time.
Totally.
It helps you to put yourself together. It is as simple as that. So if that is your case, that is what I would do. Keep it simple. Sometimes it doesn't have to be that complicated.
I know, but when you know what it's like, though, when you're on the spot, the pressure's on you. As you said earlier on, try and kind of, what was the phrase that you used? Not care that you want the job or not. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, that can all help as well. But I know from experience, I don't know if you've been in the same experiences, when you're on the spot, nothing comes. Blank brain syndrome. And it's the same with anything else. To get over blank brain, no matter if you're in a presentation, an interview, even if you're having a conversation, preparation. And this is where I said before, if you have five stories, look at my thumb again, five stories,
oh, yeah.
From your experience, if you've prepared them, mm-hmm. you're not going to have blank brain at all. You know, you're going to at least say something. Yeah.
Yes.
So to remember anything, so you don't forget, it's all about preparation, hard work. You know, they say that athletes have muscle memory just by practicing and practicing. So when a footballer comes to take a kick, already their brain knows exactly what they're going to do because they've done it 100 times before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same with language and preparing for an interview. It's preparation.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I will go over this question quickly because, I mean, if you are the kind of person who gets absolutely nervous when when you're in an interview, just go to as many interviews as possible. It doesn't have to be the one. Just go ahead and practice.
Totally.
You can just apply to a pizza job. It doesn't really matter. It's as long as you, you know, like, and there is nothing about that, nothing wrong about it. Please don't get me wrong with that. It's just that the idea is for you to practice, and that's it, to get out of your shell. And because if English is your non-dominant language, of course that apart from really, really wanting the job, or even worse, that you need the job, because one thing is to desire something and another thing is that you actually do need it to put bread on the table, because that's another thing. If you have the possibility to play, you know, with it and to practice, please just go ahead and
do
any, job interviews that are not the one as possible. That's it.
Go as many. I used to say to my students, I'm not ready for an interview. I said, it doesn't matter. Go get the feeling, what's going on, watch everyone. You know, because when some of my students, they went for interviews, there's maybe like 1,000, 2,000 people there. And so it was actually taking in the atmosphere of what's going on, you know, with the interview. So you're absolutely right. Go to as many interviews as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
Andy, what was the next question?
How do I reply if asked, tell me about yourself, guys?
Oh, my God.
This is a classic. This is a classic, isn't it, Ken?
Well, the do's and don't. Oh, go on, Andy. Go. You go first.
No, go ahead.
No, you go first. I know you're waiting to...
Okay. No, well, actually, the only thing that I was going to say is that it is a classic, and definitely they just don't want to know if you've got a dog called Skippy or, you know, what you did the day before. They are really asking, and they're not talking about your personality in your personal life. This question is strictly designed to be answered in your business spectrum. Mm-hmm. Tell me about yourself professionally. A lot of people, especially first timers and not so first timers, they answer this one so badly. It's kind of like,
why? What do they do this bad, Andy? Tell me. What's the don'ts?
For instance, when I practice with my students and I do ask this question as if I am the interviewer, and I play a very tough interviewer, you know, like with different personalities, the one that is a joker, the one that is like the tough one. And usually this always comes up, and they come up with answers like, well, I've got a wife, or I've got a husband, or I've got a partner, three kids and a dog. And you're like, no, that's not what you're wasting valuable, precious time. And it's gonna kill, you know, the first good impression that perhaps you're like, hello, here I am, and like it's gonna kill your beautiful CV, and then you answer with this. This is gonna be a total quank 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 moment. balloon disinflating. Like, oh no.
One of the things, definitely don't repeat your CV. Don't repeat your resume. They already have your resume there. They've read through it. They don't want to repeat it. What they're wanting to know is they're wanting to find something to latch onto. They want to find something that's going to hook them and going to find a common conversation point that you have. This is what I feel. And so, and as you mentioned as well, this question is always kind of at the beginning of an interview. So they're fishing for to build rapport, I guess.
Yes.
And the one thing definitely don't, as I mentioned, is don't repeat your resume. But I always say do these things. Tell them what you really love about your job at the moment. Tell them what you like about your job. Tell them what you enjoy about your job. Mm-hmm. This brings out a positive beginning to the start of your interview. For example, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm working as a teacher. I really love working as a teacher because I can see my students improving day after day. I really enjoy the interaction with them. So you're giving all this positive information over the positive parts of your persona at the beginning of an interview. And this is what I feel has worked for my students and is going to grab them in to there. Yeah. So for me, don't repeat your resume. But do tell them what you like, what you love, and what you enjoy about your current position. Yes,
and also it would be really, really good and very positive in order to answer this question to, for instance, talk about your latest achievement that perhaps was definitely not mentioned in the CV.
Absolutely.
Or if you are planning very, very near plans about how you're going to turn your career. For example, if you have signed up to a course, things like this are the ones that makes the whole difference when it comes to answering this question.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Good. Anything else we can add on to it?
No, I think that we've got time for one more and that's it, right?
Okay, right, Andy, do you want to do the honors?
Okay, let's see. I'm learning how to do this, huh? Okay, the question is, what do you do when they say, why should we hire you? Oh my God, this is a tough one. And it's nice that we are living with this one. What would you do if you are there with the light, you know, the accusative light? Why should we hire you? And you're like, oh my gosh, because I need it. No, wrong answer. So what would you do then?
Well, I always, again, I mentioned before about the interview types of questions and the five stories about your experience. Mm-hmm. Another part of the interview preparation process, if you like, is I say to my students, right, have six skills. There's going to be six skills that you need to talk about or think about. The six skills are working under pressure, providing a good service, what else? Working in a team, self-motivation skills. There's six of them, which I'll put on the program notes. And what? Hopefully, when you've prepared, you know, your stories, they're going to relate to these six topics. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when someone says, "Why should we hire you?" Think of two of these topics. So, for example, why should we hire you? Well, I am excellent at helping people and I'm fabulous at working in a team. Okay, tell me a time that you helped someone. And this is where you've got your story of your past experience. Oh, tell me a time you worked in a team. Okay, here's my story about past experience. So for me, I'm very mathematical and I believe that there's a kind of process. So have these skills in your mind, and that's when your strengths, if you like, and that's when you should reply to them. Well, you should hire me because I have excellent teamwork and skills, and I provide exceptional customer service skills. Hopefully, that's understood. Yeah, Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, and be as specific as possible. I mean, if this job position has been open, it has been open because they need to solve something, mm-hmm. right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to be considered to that job position, yes, you can talk about your skills, be very specific mm-hmm. about them, mm-hmm. but I would also, and that's what is going to make actually the difference, mm-hmm. I would also mention how I would do it differently from how it has been done before.
And all right. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that don't be scared to provide an opinion, your professional opinion, because that's mm-hmm. why you were, invited to come to this interview. The thing is that don't be scared to provide your professional opinion when it is because that is the perfect moment where you can shine. I mean,
all right. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say the typical things that the person before you and the person probably after you will say, there is nothing that is going to make you memorable about it. But if you mm-hmm. provide a solution, but also you provide an idea, a factor X. This is what I wanted to
say. All right. Uh-huh, uh-huh,
if you uh-huh. come up with this factor X uh-huh. kind of thing, you're going to be super memorable to the interviewer. And that's what's important here.
Absolutely right.
To this question.
You leave them on a high point about yourself. Yeah. You leave them with as you say, a good impression. You let them remember you, you know?
Yes, it's kind of like when you have kind of like a first kiss. Now that we have been talking also about first times and datings and like that. First kiss are like, they are like really nice invitations, because before that there is only like creating expectation. But once you're kind of like, oh, then probably not, you're right? So I think that it should be seen in that way, of course.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Great stuff. Fantastic. Let me see. I had a couple of comments here. Let me see. I'll just show them up here. We've got really cool. 1 year ago, I could not understand everything you were saying, but now I can. Oh, brilliant.
That's
good. Excellent. And who's this? I love English. Great.
I love the way that you say it. I loved English.
I love English. And Firas, go on with your podcasts. Good ideas. Hopefully you've enjoyed that, yeah? Anything that you want to finish with, Andy?
Well, yes. Just if you've been called for an interview, first of all, be grateful. And second of all, believe in yourself, because you have been called for a reason, and because of your skills and your experience, and because your resume was interesting, and by default you perhaps are also interesting. So just prove it. Prove your value. That's what I've got to tell you.
Brilliant. Great message to finish on there, Andy. So hopefully you've enjoyed that, and we'll see you again next week on the Three Teachers Podcast.
Exactly.
Have a fantastic week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.